I'm not at all clear we need a jingle for this, to be honest with you.
Hang on. Lack can't continue because he's too aroused.
Okay, here we are, episode 3, season 2. Jesus, yes. Episode 3.
Episode 3.
Let's just call it show 3, because episode and season's been...
Oh, you decided to make a fucking appearance.
Hello, yes, it's Matthew Rebell here.
How was your honeymoon?
Yeah, congratulations, by the way, Matt.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Yep. A couple of weeks. Well, you were on honeymoon for about a month, weren't you?
Well, something like that. Yes, yes. It was great, and it's good to be married, etc. And it's brilliant to be back. Actually, doing like radio, isn't it?
It is great.
I've got to admit, I didn't think I'd be back. I'm amazed to actually be here.
who's this guy?
This is Aid.
He's Bal.
He ate Sparks, and Sparks is gone. So
we shouldn't.
No one's actually going to, but we should do.
Sparks is gone. He's left.
Catch you later. no, right. Sorry.
He basically, read his blog for the details. But he left. We there's no animosity between the Lug Radio team. Sparks just decided to move on.
No, it's not like when that bloke left Sepultura. You know,
Max got left.
Yeah, when Barney Green came in, or whatever his name is.
No, we're not the Beatles. There wasn't any Barney Green. There wasn't any animosity. No, Sparks just wanted to pursue other interests.
I'm thinking of Barney Green. It's just like, you know that purple dinosaur.
I love you.
That's Barney Purple.
So Sparks, thank you for being an integral part of the Lug Radio crew.
Being quality
crew.
Sparks.
Yeah, wicked, mate.
You could have left a bit earlier, though. Then it would have been a neat season.
Could have kept
you
things tidy.
You're inconsiderate as shit, honestly.
No, seriously, Sparks, thanks a lot. And here's a few of your best moments.
No, we're not ready. Okay, now we're ready. Yeah, I'm Steve Parks.
Do you know, have you eaten soggy biscuit?
No. Play to lose.
No, from what? You got Sparks that looks like someone from Spandau Ballet crossed with Austin Powers at the moment.
Dad, I've just completely f***ed up the internet.
My t-shirt incident. We're going to start at the beginning with the shoes. Right.
Can you all make a comment on my shoes? What do you think of my shoes?
They're fine. Granddad's shoes.
There may be some bad language. Sorry, bad language in this show.
I was walking
corduroy
together. Shoes.
Walking together paper the other day, and this girl in a
corduroy.
I said, corduroy shoes were fantastic, mate. And it may get animal noises going cock-a-doodle-doo or something. Especially when Ack talks, because he talks bollocks. This girl in a school uniform, like the height of fashion, says, your trainers are shit. And you think, oh, bollocks, I'm downloading music from John O'Bacon.org. My trainers are perfectly good, and they go perfectly well with the Hulk style that I've got here. Thank you. Can we have that word beep? But thank you very much.
Yeah, I hate the word bastard.
Let's get back to the point.
To a schoolgirl about your shoes.
Talking to a schoolgirl about my shoes, which is got to be the punchline to a joke. I just haven't worked out what the fuck it is.
And then you have stains on your trousers.
But God, it's a story. She said
your shoes are shit. I said to her, yes, schoolgirl, what the fuck do you know about fashion kind of thing? And she says, my trainers are better than them, and she got her trainers out of her bag, and they were Nike trainers with like fucking shock absorbers on the back. And I said, so your idea of looking cool is looking like all of your friends, right? Which I thought was a fucking brilliant point to make.
Yeah.
I tried to release some documentation on there last year, and I turned down because it's not in the public interest. Fuck off. It's not Nike, it's Nike. No. So I says, it's not Nike, it's Nike, and she was a fucking Greek goddess.
Absolutely.
And then I got in my car and drove away, and she a jaw like was on hanging. And everything I say that's ever funny goes to Ack.
But you both got funny.
But that means that I never say anything, that shit. You never say anything fucking funny. Don't credit
Fuck
me with
off.
Any of his lines. They're all
off.
Bollocks.
Toss that.
Bastard.
So,
good thing about Norwich. No offence to anyone who lives in Norwich, but good thing about Norwich is it will be an island, eventually.
Yeah.
And this bloke says, don't you know, yellow t-shirts are stale.
The thing is, you don't want to go along and seem like some kind of religious zealot.
Yeah.
Unless you're also a religious zealot. Let's be fair, it's not like prejudice against people here. If you are a religious zealot, turn off your religious zealotness. Don't literally hit them with the Bible.
Or any other holy book.
In this case, O'Reilly's
Running Linux.
You want a cynical view first?
Yeah. Well, that's the only one we're going to fucking get, because as soon as you do the nice one, it'll last true. Three, it'll no, last three words, and you'll go, but fuck it!
Mark Radio! Red Mark!
Taggart!
That's my distro!
How can Taggart be called Taggart? No, Taggart hasn't been in it for 10 years!
Mark McManus has been dead since about 1999.
The best thing about Taggart is, every time one ginger tosser leaves, another one comes in.
Have you watched it? Just prop him up.
It's that bit of the show that I tend to do every week. It seems to be my bit, the end.
It's tradition, Spark.
This is tradition. This is the end. Spock's
wicked.
Well, there we go. Isn't that
some
funny?
Absolute
like
classics.
Do you like
there,
the fake laughing there?
Yeah. Well, particularly as we've just paused for a few seconds, because I'm going to stick the clip in after.
Well, no, the best thing I thought, the way it sounded, like, here's your best moments. Little bit of silence. We all are.
That would be good.
I particularly liked it when he said "poi."
Oh God, yeah,
yeah. So basically, Sparks, thanks a lot. Cheers, Aid, for stepping into the breach.
Yeah,
we are recording. It's just going very slowly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good lord.
Oh, good lord. So anyway,
good lord.
Aid's stepped into the breach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for the offer, guys. Yeah.
So welcome to the Lug Radio crew, mate. It's good to have you on board.
Have you settled in?
I'm sitting in the Spark's seat, and the
well-oiled
aid on a perfect Sparks I'm sitting on.
These are like a bigger bit halfway through the seat where his crack kind of hovered over.
Oh, so I'm trying not to think about that, to be quite honest.
Thinking about Sparks' crack.
Aid isn't on the Lug Radio website yet, so let's describe him.
Bald. Which means bald.
Thank you. Yeah.
He's enormously bald. He's balder than anyone has ever been before.
But I make bald look good, remember?
He's 6'2", blue eyes, bald.
I'm afraid
grey
make
trousers.
Good look bald.
Bald.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Aid.
Right, okay, what can I say?
Well, I'm bald.
Where do you live? Where do you work? What sort of things do you do? Why do you use Linux? When did you start? Blah, blah, blah.
To summarise, I'm kind of a network geek.
Bald.
In case you haven't got the message yet, we have to put a picture on the web.
Tell us the truth, no bald faced lies.
Bollocks.
Are they bald as well?
Here, have a look.
Hair today, gone tomorrow.
No, I wanted to see a long term feature. Now come on, Aid. Tell us about yourself, man.
No bald.
You live in Longbridge, you're a network geek.
Yeah, a network geek, 38 years young.
Sorry.
I'll let the man speak.
Right,
go on.
Right, yeah, so you're bald network geek.
Yeah, yeah. Into the security thing as well. First computer was actually a Commodore 64.
Oh, right.
So
run-stop key. Big no-no.
What's that?
The run-stop key.
Yeah, not as much of as a no-no as a Spectrum rubber keys.
I agree with you. I was an Acorn kid all the way.
Do you ever remember the moment when you actually first saw a computer? Because I do. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, how do you get into computers?
I'm not that old.
I remember being 18 and walking past a shop and actually seeing a BBC B Micro actually playing Elite. And I just thought, I've got to have that.
You only get one in the
I
shop
spent
anyone's
so... I dread to think of how many years of my life I spent playing Elite.
Sad bastard.
Commander Jameson.
You play NetHack.
And now you are Elite.
I actually went on the WebHack site the other day. Oh, man, that's really bad, isn't it? It's like ASCII.
I've been attacked by a capital D. Oh, no. Look, you can tell because there's stars leaking out of the big round bit at the top.
It was incredibly
You're from
bad.
Birmingham.
Yeah, from Birmingham.
How has that affected your, you know, I mean...
How's that affected your, you know, outlook
my
on life?
Sperm count?
The number of cars you've had stolen.
1, 2, 3. How did you get into open source then, from BBC Micros and Commodore 64s and
Commodore 64
like
onto the Amiga. Love the Amiga, Matt.
Fantastic.
Gotta
machine.
Love that.
Got mine in my office.
Amiga 500, Amiga 4000, all that.
Oh, right. You're hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Then I sold my soul to the devil. Got a PC.
Yeah, we all had to see that.
Then I think I got into Linux around about Red Hat 5.1 or 5.2.
Hardcore.
Installed it on a laptop. Noticed that it actually ran quicker than Windows 98.
See, that's interesting. Right, just brief kind of interjection.
Go for it, yeah.
Some people say, you know, I got Linux around sort of 97.
Yeah, because I can't
whatever,
put dates
98,
to it.
Whatever. But other people date it by bits of distributions.
Yeah, like, I can't remember dates, you see.
But everyone who dates it by bits of distributions, either says I got into it somewhere around Yggdrasil, if they're trying to impress everyone by saying, yeah,
I'm not trying to impress
anyone. I was in there from the beginning. Or they date it from Red Hat.
Yeah.
Everyone who dates it by distributions dates it from Red Hat.
Sorry.
I don't know why.
So yeah, installed it on my laptop.
5.2 was around 98, wasn't it? Something like that.
90? No, it's 99. I think.
Don't
it was.
Know. All right. Okay.
5.0 was about. That.
I remember spending 6 weeks trying to get the laptop screen to go from 640 to and fill the whole 800 pixels. 6 weeks trying to find out what file to edit.
Really?
You yeah. Seriously, right for trying to install a Linux on a laptop before 2000.
Hey, amen. I did it.
So this is Aid Bradshaw, our new man.
And then I sort of drifted away.
Sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
Let me finish, boy. And actually really got back into it around 7.1.
He's going to be a problem, you know.
Me?
Him.
Aid?
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one who doesn't run Debian.
Yeah. No, I don't run Debian. I run Fedora too.
Yes, good man.
Really?
Yeah, I gave up on Debian.
Did we actually mention, by the way, that Core 3 came out today?
Well, yes. We did later in the show.
Yeah, later. How can you tell that, Matt? Have you got a crystal ball?
We mentioned that.
We record the intros later.
I do just it, yeah. Right. Okay.
You should have noticed this, eh? You're a bit crap, aren't you?
So, yes, welcome to the Lug Radio team.
Yeah,
hey,
thank you
Bradshaw.
Very much. Thank you.
Give it up, mate.
Yeah, Zoom format.
Yeah, man.
Let's hope your neighbours don't mind. Schwuck, otherwise known as David Murphy's to his mum, is going to talk to us about differences in culture between the Windows and open source worlds. Take it away, Schwuck.
Right, thank you very much. Where to begin? I saw a post on someone's website the other day about some latest and greatest piece of shareware, and it wound me up because whenever anybody posts about something like this, you get the whole blog comments full of people going, wow, wonderful, wow, it's great. And half the time, well, three quarters of the time, there's a free alternative, but you don't get people raving about it the same way. And it really riles me that people are so willing to pay for really basic functionality on Windows, on Mac.
Yep.
And there's so much good free and open source alternatives out there. I mean, it's just such a completely different culture. If somebody brought out an editor on Linux and tried to charge for it, they'd practically get laughed out of the
Did you say if someone brought out an egg dessert? That's what it sounded like. What did you say?
Editor.
Oh, editor. not an egg dessert, then.
No, not an egg dessert. Well, I would pay for an egg dessert as long as it was nice, and probably not funky pie, but...
hey, leave the funky pie out of it, please.
Respect the funk.
Yes.
I shall try it for myself.
Exactly.
But yeah, editors.
Yeah, but if you brought out a very simple little utility for Linux and you tried to charge for it, what would people do to you?
Kick the shit out of you?
Yeah. Laugh.
You would get flamed from here to kingdom come. But somebody brings out yet another clipboard viewer and charges 20 quid for it on Windows, people hand over the money.
So what do you think the... what's the reason for that? Is it literally a cultural difference?
It is. It must be. People are so used to paying for the smallest things on Windows and Mac that the idea of getting something for free, it really is just completely alien to them.
I've noticed, I mean, like, we've got the gdesklets confabulator thing in the Linux and Mac world, worlds. You know, confabulator, whatever it's called, costs about $20 or something for macOS, and gdesklets for GNOME is, well, it's free. So, I mean, Microsoft have managed to build a business, an international, huge, massive business, around things that largely we don't pay for in the Linux world. Can you see any change coming up, Schwuck, or do you think people will just carry on paying because they know no better?
No, but there is a change. But the thing is that some of the really cool applications people still haven't created free alternatives for. I'll get onto one in a minute. But a lot of the basic stuff, the free alternatives are there, and the people in the know they exist and will happily use them.
The distinction that I see, I mean, if you look at, say, like BBEdit on the Macintosh, yeah? That's an editor. They spent a lot of time building it. It does loads of really, really cool stuff. And Mac people say it's worth paying $20 for it, shareware or whatever. The distinction is, I think, that if you make any kind of thing on Windows at all, unless you're explicitly already a part of the free software community, you won't give it away. You instinctively think, I should charge a fiver for this.
Very true, but the Mac community isn't really a good example. They're willing to pay 600 quid for Photoshop.
Very true. How much is Visual Studio?
Don't know, because I don't pay for it.
Because you get it legitimately through work.
Yeah, my boss has paid for it. My own development is done using MonoDevelop and SharpDevelop, both of which are free.
Yeah, but how much is VisualStudio.net?
Various editions, but the one I use is currently some about £1,800.
Yeah, that's £1,800
for a text editor.
You know, I'm not clear that VS.net is a better example of a code editor than Photoshop is of an image editor, for example. And it strikes me that Photoshop is just as critical to a graphic designer as VisualStudio.net is to a guy who writes code.
No, but it's always been.
Don't know why I'm defending Mac people here, by the way. It just seems to have worked out like that.
You're all just trying to wind me up, I'm sure of it.
On Macintosh and Windows. So people are willing to pay $20 for a text editor because they were grew up paying £600 for a photo editor.
What about the people, though, who, like me, come from the Amiga world, where there was a thriving PD and freeware culture?
We love the Amiga.
Yeah, man.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Amiga's what's
sorry, can Schwab answer
sorry, carry on,
my insightful question?
But most of the people who grew up on PD software on the Amiga and the Atari have probably moved into the Wares world on Windows and Mac.
Oh, right, okay. So they're naughty boys.
Is there a worse world on the Mac? New question, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't agree with you. No. I do
That's not a question.
I do. Hang on, it was like part 1A. Yeah. I agree with the point that you're trying to make, but how many people on Windows actually pay for software? I mean, you know, they use Internet Explorer, which they got for free. They use MSN Messenger, that they got for free. They use Word, which essentially they got for free because they bought the computer and it was already on it.
Or pirated it.
Or they robbed the copy, yeah. But
yeah, IE wasn't for free.
Why wasn't it for free?
Well, if you're assuming that people got the software because it came with Windows.
Well, no, but IE's free anyway. If you want to upgrade...
It is free.
If you want to get a new version of Internet Explorer, you go and download it. No one ever thinks to pay for it.
But so what was your question?
Yeah,
So, are people in fact used to not paying for software because they don't have to? You know, I mean, little utilities, yeah, but do people use little utilities?
Well, people must be paying for them because people are still selling them. If nobody was buying them, nobody would be selling the shareware anymore. But as it is, you see half a dozen text editors come out every day and people are charging $20 for them.
Yeah,
somebody must be buying them somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see. You can't get shareware authors to release figures of how many things have actually sold. But look at MIRC.
Yeah,
that's shareware. And I don't know how many copies he's had registered and paid for.
About 15, I'm reckoning.
As opposed to 1,500 million, which is how many are actually in use at any one time.
We've had this discussion before.
We've talked about MIRC before, yeah. but it's a good example of the point. You know, people are not paying for it, and, you know, he's essentially giving it away.
I think the thing is that there's a inherent piracy culture as well with Windows. People don't want to pay for software if they use their computers at home. People know that they've got to pay for it if you're in a business. It's only because you're going to be audited. And that's the reason why people pay for it. They don't pay for it because they feel like they should pay for the software. They pay for it because they have to pay for it at work. Whereas I think for most people at home, they're quite happy to simply pirate it and sort of do what they want with it, really.
So, Schwack, how do you think this relates back to the open source world? I mean, can we... Do you think that this unwillingness to pay for software may relate back to people being more willing to try out things like OpenOffice, or do you think people say, well, I get Word for free anyway because I pirate it, so why should I bother learning OpenOffice?
People need to learn that the alternatives are out there.
Yeah.
Things like the Firefox ad are going to make, hopefully, a huge impact.
You see, I don't think it necessarily will. I think the Firefox ad was a great idea, and it's great publicity. But I think, I mean, how many ads, when you pick up a copy of the newspaper, how many ads do you just gloss over?
Yeah, I mean, the whole Firefox ad...
I don't know, I don't read newspapers.
That's the thing. People who read newspapers probably don't care about web browsers. And yeah. I think it's great that they're doing... that they're getting the... They're getting...
People who read newspapers don't care about web browsers.
No, well, newspapers are legacy.
Is that
web browsers?
The same way that people who drive cars don't eat fish?
No. I'm not saying they don't use web browsers.
They're completely unconnected.
No, I agree. They're connected because, I mean, I don't buy a newspaper because I just read my news on the net.
Yeah, but you're an IT bloke.
But that's the point. People who read the New York Times probably don't care about.
Yeah, the whole point I think about the New York Times ad though is that they're getting far more free PR from it than the money, than the equivalent promotion that they're getting from the actual advert.
Yeah, the advert really doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter if nobody sees the advert. It's the fact that the open source community have raised this money
to
fund the advert, and they're going to get so much PR and news coverage off the back of that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're going to get news coverage in
open source places.
In open source places and the IT places. I mean, you know, you look at sort of eWeek or news.com.com or things like that, then yeah, but they're already talking about Firefox in places like
that. Not, it's not hit any non-tech publications from
what I was looking for, tech,
that we know of.
That we're aware of.
It's difficult for us sitting on this side of the Atlantic to judge the impact of the New York Times, but I reckon it's probably quite an influential publication. It's probably the most serious newspaper in the States.
I wouldn't say so.
Don't forget this is
every time I hear of the New... I don't know a lot about it, but every time I hear of the New York Times, people are generally ripping it, saying that it's like the Sun. You know?
Is that the New York Post?
That's the New York Post, you're thinking of, I suspect, yeah. The New York Post is a tabloid,
basically.
And the New York Times is...
You know, I never knew there was a New York Post and a New York Times. Yeah. I learn a new thing every day. I take it back.
And remember, this is a full-page advert. That's going to get anyone's attention.
Yeah, I mean, good fact and bad fact. The New York Times is a relatively influential newspaper in the US, and that's a good thing. On the other hand, if you brought it over here, it would be third in our circulation figures. And the Yangs have got five times as many people as us.
True, true.
They don't have nationwide papers.
They don't, do they? Any last words, Schmuck?
Schmuck.
Thank you very much.
We should thank Schmuck, by the way, before he says his last words.
Yeah, thanks, Schmuck, David
Murphy.
Because
he's been a particularly legendary fan of Lug Radio.
He has.
And he's the man, and that's the reason why we're talking to him tonight.
And we may well go and visit him. Where is it you live, Schmuck?
Address on the radio, here. If you please. Yeah.
Turn left before you hit Scotland.
Turn left.
What is it, a spatria, did you say?
What's that?
A spatria artichoke, where was it?
I live north of Aspatria, but spatria, we call it Chattery around here.
Right. Okay, so Melvin Bragg country.
So yeah. Any last words then, Schwuck?
I just want to see far more use of free and open source software out there. I'm reaching the point with my professional job that I'm going to start developing purely using open source because of issues getting software licenses for commercial software. They expect me to develop with unlicensed software.
Yeah.
Because we have to go through this whole purchase process. And I'm just going to turn around and say, no, I'm going to start developing with open source software now.
Good for you, man.
Good on you. Take
a stand. That's one final thing before we go.
Jono's final thought.
My final thought is one thing a lot of people seem to forget about. I mean, when you're talking about people saving money with licenses, and they, you know, because of the actual license costs are removed when they use free software, is there's also a massive saving from any company in audit costs, and that doesn't seem to be reflected in a lot of publicity about TCO and everything. So it's not, I think people should remember, it's not just license costs, it's all the stuff about maintaining license costs, which bolsters Schwuck's good thing to say in with regards to actually pursue an open source development exclusively.
Cheers, Schwuck.
Nice one, Schwuck. Take care, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Today, on the day that we're recording anyway, Firefox 1.0 was released officially. Now, we've been having a chat around the Lug Radio studio, in orbit of the Lug Radio Massive, just chatting about...
because objects do tend to just orbit around.
In orbit. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's that big, he has his own gravitational field.
Basically, it's not the first time he's had enormous rocks hovering above him.
So, anyway.
Objects in the Lug Radio studio may appear larger than they actually are.
So, we're talking about how Firefox, you know, is doing quite well, and they've got this stated aim of, by the end of 2005, they want 10% of the browser market. And Bloglines were saying today that 20% of their traffic, I thought that was a bit low, is now from Firefox. So, anyway, we were discussing the future of Firefox and the fact that Microsoft doesn't seem to be that bothered about Safari taking over on the Mac from IE, Firefox doing very well on the PC and Linux, Windows and Linux platforms. So is that, you know, we were just chatting about, is that because maybe Firefox is going to be a useful target now for browser and security worries instead of going to Microsoft and the Windows platform? And, you know, just basically what the future of Firefox might be.
No.
What do you reckon, guys?
I reckon no. I reckon you are so wrong, other wrong things come and pray at your feet. Right?
You see,
what I reckon.
I'm not actually wrong, I just set up a debate point that
way. You're suggesting it.
No, I'm not. It's just something I read off the internet.
Well, everything on the internet is lies.
including Log Radio.
Including your website.
My website's not lies, my website's fantastic.
I like Guy Fawkes Night. It's really good.
It is really good.
Come on.
I like it a lot. the first thing I think is that, to be honest with you, if Firefox takes 75 or 80 or 90% of the browser market, and therefore it's the thing that everyone throws stones at, whatever, it's got 90% of the browser market. Like, I give a shit. Fantastic. That'd be absolutely brilliant.
But would it be? A plain devil's advocate from Matt's perspective.
How could it be in any way not brilliant?
If it is as vulnerable as IE, it's got 90% of the market. So what?
Won't it just overly
vulnerable web browser.
And it'll just look badly on open source.
An overly vulnerable web browser that adheres to web standards.
Yes.
And that's fine with you. Penis.
I think it's a lot better than the situation we have at the moment, which is where we have an overly vulnerable web browser which does not adhere to web standards and is controlled by one organisation.
I think the issue here is...
Who at least in the past, have talked about commoditising the web, if not killing the web.
Jesus, AIDS dripping off.
Wow.
Try and keep calm, boys.
I've lost control.
Why do we think that... why do we think, though, that Microsoft appear at the moment to be doing nothing about Firefox? Okay, Firefox is a tiny strip in the ocean of Internet Explorer at the moment, but, you know, it's doing fairly well.
Depends what you mean by, then, if they're not doing anything about it. I think they are doing something about it.
What, they're completely integrating it into Longhorn and making it not available whatsoever outside of Longhorn?
The thing is, though, is that they specifically develop technologies that are dependent on IE. I don't think they're doing it directly by fixing IE, which would be the generally
imagine
sensible.
That, yeah. Or making it anything more than a rectangle.
Yeah. But I think they're basically doing it by locking people in. But let's not forget, people, that Microsoft are the most interoperable and secure company in the world,
Hang on, I mean, it's a really good point. I genuinely do not get why they're not reacting to it. I mean, it's not as if they haven't noticed. Microsoft way is going to go, by the way, web browsers carried on after we stopped developing IE. And they'll go, did they? Fucking hell.
I don't think they're anywhere near big enough to even threaten, to even show up on the scope, if you like.
You mean Firefox?
Yeah. To even bother somebody as big as Microsoft.
It's still only a tiny proportion of the world using Firefox.
But it's the important people who are using it in many ways.
As I said, I did some research on the number of vulnerabilities, and at the moment it seems to be around about the same number of vulnerabilities for Firefox as there is for IE per month. But the seriousness of them is completely opposite ends of the scale. So all of the IE vulnerabilities are like extremely serious.
And all the Firefox ones are like...
You know, right at the other end of the scale. And really weirdly, the one that comes out with the least vulnerabilities, I found, was Opera. I didn't know about.
What do we think about Opera, just while we're on the subject?
Seems all right, not bothered by it.
I mean, I guess like using it about
money.
3 years ago.
Or sticks advertising up in the corner, which pisses you off. Like,
particularly when you can get a free browser that's
standards compliant.
Well, particularly when you can get a free browser that gives you a plugin that lets you put advertising in the top corner if you really want to see Google Ads.
I mean,
who wrote that for Firefox?
I mean, the Opera people, the firm, are doing really good things. I mean, they employ Ian Hixon, for example.
Who's
a really heavyweight, big mover in the CSS world. He was one of the major contributors to Mozilla. And he still is, I think, to some extent.
Right.
And he's now employed by them. They've done things like Opera Show. Eric Mayer has just put out a thing to do presentations in the web browser. So it's all, you know, nice standard XHTML and CSS.
He rocks,
and all
he?
That. Yeah,
like Facebook,
he does rock.
He's weird, though, isn't
Jono will tell you that S5, the Eric Mayer thing, is basically Renditioner, which I described 2 years ago as a really good idea and they never fucking did anything with, which is really annoying.
There's a surprise. That's well, some project that you were working on, was it?
Yes, but it never really got off the ground. But the Opera people built a thing called Opera Show, which it's sort of PowerPoint in the sense that it doesn't just display these presentations, it actually creates them.
Right.
You know, so they're doing good stuff, the Opera people. But
and also they've done the Nokia
browser.
Small browsing. No, the small format browsing, which is quite...
Thing is, though,
that's bollocks, right?
Okay.
Best thing about that, the Opera people said, look, we've got all this small browsing thing. And then Daniel Glasman, I think it was,
who's
a web developer guy, said, here's a thing you can do. You can do just that in Mozilla as well with about 9 lines of style sheet. And that was it. And the Opera people were like, oh, we've built it into our browser. It's a really big, cool, exciting thing.
Which is why Nokia bought into Mozilla.
So, yeah, and
okay. The other thing to mention about vulnerabilities is, you know, recently, that I think it was Gartner that said you shouldn't use Internet Explorer anymore if you look for alternatives.
CERT.
The CERT people, yes.
Yeah, anyway, so at that time, my company said, you know, we should look around. Has anybody got any suggestions? So obviously, I suggest Firefox. And there were limited trials of Firefox. And then somebody spotted that, oh, hang on, there's been some vulnerabilities for Firefox. We're not going to bother with that. It's just as bad as IE. And as much as I could say to them, look, it isn't. The vulnerabilities are nowhere near as serious. You've got all of the source code with Firefox, whereas you've got none of the source code with IE. It was just a case of, oh, there are some vulnerabilities. Let's just stick with IE.
I think something that's
how ridiculous.
Something that's interesting, though, is obviously, particularly when you talk to people about Linux and viruses, and one thing I've heard from a lot of people is, using Linux and viruses as an example is, oh, well, there will be viruses for Linux when it gets bigger, when it becomes as popular as Linux, as Windows.
And which we'll be discussing later.
A lot of people talk about the same sort of thing with Firefox. But I think something, as much as Internet Explorer is a piece of shit, I'm not denying it, let's not forget that when Internet Explorer was developed, the virus threat... the malware threat was nowhere near what it was like when Firefox was developed. So it's sometimes easy to be overly critical.
It would be if they didn't have $40 billion in
the bank. I'm not denying the fact that they're an enormous organisation and all the rest of it.
You could easily fix it.
But the thing is, that I don't think they can easily fix it. I think it's too broken for them to fix.
Yeah, they need to rewrite it.
They need to rewrite it 2 months with the number
of people
they've got on board.
No, you can't do that.
Well, whatever. I mean, but they could rewrite it quite easily.
They seriously need to.
People have got and the money they've got.
It has taken the Mozilla people, 97, they first open sourced the browser.
Yep.
So that's 7 years. To build Firefox 1.0, you can't make work in half the time by throwing twice as guys at it.
So you look at IIS 4, they completely rewrote that. Sorry, 5, wasn't it? They completely rewrote 6 from the ground up, and it took them no time, because they've got millions of programmers.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily help to have millions and millions of guys.
But in this case,
it's just
going to
do it wrong again.
They didn't know.
But the thing is, I think it's having the right guys to do it. The thing about the Firefox thing is that they've got the equivalent of millions of guys because the amount of hackers who are working on it and the amount of bug reports that are coming in, because the people who use Firefox at the moment are the kind of people who submit bug reports. People who use IE don't submit bug reports. But I think the issue is that I don't think you can necessarily... I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, it's crap and they could have fixed it. I think it is crap and they should fix it, but it is interesting what you're saying, Matt, in the sense of the... Although I believe that they're taking it from a different perspective and they're approaching it from their products, from their development products perspective and their technologies, it is surprising that they haven't taken it from the IE perspective as well. Because you'd expect them to kind of like corner all angles.
That's where you go for mindshare, though. Microsoft is all about mindshare and conquering...
Well, they're failing pretty badly, then.
Well, are they, though?
In the browser market.
It's
the biggest vulnerability now, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, the patches that came out last month were for vulnerabilities that are 8 months old.
Wow.
You don't see that in Firefox. So people that I work with say, oh, there's another vulnerability. I say, well, A, I guarantee you it's fixed by now. And, you know...
On the other hand, nobody was listening.
Yeah, true.
That's mindshare.
But for them to even say, we need to look at another browser, they're questioning now. You know, when you've got like 20 vulnerabilities in 1 month... Then we have to go. Newsflash.
Okay, guys, should we do the news?
Yeah.
News. No, I'm not at all clear we need a jingle for this, to be honest with you.
Hang on.
Can't continue because he's too aroused.
We need to do this as some kind of, some kind of jingly thing. So let me just say news and I'll add some effects to it later.
Can you do it in a heavy metal voice as well?
Lug Radio News.
You sound like a child molester. Don't do that again.
Okay,
right, yeah, news. Right, first thing, Novell, Linux desktop. releasing a Linux desktop, much the same as Sun Java desktop, in that it's made up of loads and loads and loads of free components. Every single thing that comes out of Novell from now on, press release, guys talking about anything, is going to say Novell Linux desktop at the beginning of every sentence, and it costs money.
Wow, that's news. That's real news, that is.
Yes, but it is news.
Honestly, I can't say anything because I haven't actually got any news.
We mustn't actually forget the other distro that released today.
Which other distro?
Fedora Core 3, bring it on.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's out.
So that's dating this show to the 8th of November as a recording.
Right, okay.
Whatever day it is.
Yeah, I mean, we've got... I get the strong impression, I mean, this could be a horrible calumny on Novell, but I get the impression that the Novell Linux desktop is going to be basically like the Sun Java desktop, except without Java.
Why are they calling it Linux Desktop 9 when it's the first one?
Because they're Muppets.
It's it's basically SUSE Linux 9.2.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's SUSE. I mean,
I had a look on the site earlier. They got like
They're going to take, I think, the same position with this that Sun have taken with the Java desktop, except where Sun are embedding Java, Novell are going to embed Mono.
Except Sun kind of hate Linux and are only doing it grudgingly, whereas Novell are basing their whole kind of strategy around it.
I think the Sun people would contest the fact that you think that they hate Linux.
Oh, come on, they're always slagging off other Linux vendors and basically they're
that means they hate other people who do Linux stuff. It doesn't mean they hate Linux.
I think a lot of the people at the top of Sun misunderstand open source, but I think most of the people at Sun actually quite like Linux. Okay. I think it's just the people at the top who think, oh, we've got that thing called Solaris, haven't we? Let's keep doing that.
Which is incidentally open source.
Solaris
x86 is open source.
Is it actually been open source?
It's not yet, is it? I thought they were still in the process of clearing up all the third-party code.
Either they've already done it, or they're going to do it, but it's certainly happening. And isn't it only x86? Solaris.
Not sure.
And all three people in the world care about it. Who cares if Solaris is open source?
There's a shitload of people still using Solaris on Big Iron.
Yeah. Novell desktop looks quite shiny though. I mean, GNOME desktop. So,
it does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys sound fairly negative about the Novell Linux or Novell Linux desktop.
No, I think it's
desktop.
Good. Yeah,
I think
bring
it's
it
good.
On, yeah.
If, you, if they can get negative. Yeah.
If they can get Linux across desktops, brilliant.
How dare you lumpers with that lump?
But I mean, basically, the way that Ack introduced it was, oh, look at this, a company is charging money for something that's free. Now, yes,
that's the only problem I have
with
Linux,
is all about, isn't it? Making money out of Linux.
The thing is, they're going for the enterprise
services,
market.
No, it isn't. No, screw the enterprise market. No, you can all fuck off. I do not want to exchange a world where Microsoft own everything for a world where Novell and Sun own everything.
Yeah, but he's asking you to.
Yeah,
if it's all GPL'd or under equivalent licenses,
but I don't think it is.
Happen.
I think you pay that $39 for a license, and I think you have to renew it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Sun Java desktop isn't all GPL'd for starters. 3/4 of it's written in Java. I mean, the code written in Java might be GPL'd, but Java isn't.
All right, but look. Basically, what we're talking about with this Novell product is SUSE Linux. Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, is what we're talking about.
It is. So, yeah, GNOME desktop.
I mean, Cohen, you're the one who. Not so long ago in the program was saying, oh well, yes, I'd love to have a browser, even if it's absolutely shite and thoroughly riddled with security vulnerabilities, so long as it's not IE.
He might have said that earlier on. I might be saying it in the future.
Well, yes. That may well be the case. And now Novell bring out the thing and saying, oh well, I don't want it because, you know, I mean, isn't it better just because it is a form of Linux and most of it is open source and it's not Windows?
I thought you were this idealistic person who doesn't accept anything unless it's absolutely pure and right. I should have thought about that when you were.
Nah, you
see,
but you missed your chance earlier with the browser thing.
You're still shit, though, aren't you?
If they can increase the visibility of Linux on the desktop, it can only be good.
Bigger monitors.
Like a 21-inch monitor, maybe.
It worries me that we have come this far without compromise. Basically. At this point, people are starting to say...
Have we come this far without compromise? I mean, look at what Red Hat did to all the people that they gave their support to a few years ago. Hey. Shafted them up.
Nothing wrong with Red Hat.
There's been plenty of compromise from some people. There's been no compromise from others.
But it worries me that we've got this far with continuing to develop things under the open source model. And now we're getting people say, well, okay, you know, you've done well for a bunch of hobbyists, but now you've got to start thinking like real enterprise people. You've got to start organising yourselves properly. And you've got to start doing proper marketing and things like that. And I don't think we do.
Then
well, I really
welcome
don't.
Welcome to your niche and stay in it, mate.
No, you see, that's exactly the point. I think we can do it without just buying into the way everybody else works.
Yeah, just like the, who are those guys in America who put up all the barns? They're called the Amish, and basically they they were happy with their way of not using motor cars and still speaking an obscure German dialect, and now they're dying out, and their young people are going to go and live normal American lives. And the trouble with that is that they believe... No, the point is that they had this niche that they didn't want to compromise on, and, oh, it's all gone to shit for them. Now, if you want to see that happen to open source, good on you, mate, but you're going to be increasingly on your own.
What? So some guy refused to compromise on one thing and he failed. Therefore, everyone who refuses to compromise will fail.
No, Ack. Even right? You can use the power of,
love.
Abstract thought and, perhaps see a simile.
I kind of see where Matt's coming from, but I mean, if the ultimate goal is to get Linux on every desktop in the enterprise, then we are going to have to organise them. Sorry, but we are. So we do need to compromise a little bit.
One of the points.
I don't agree with you. I really don't. Well, I really
Firefox
do not.
Firefox would still be a very, very niche product called Mozilla with a crap website and looking awful and okay, only surviving because it was open source, no other reason. If it wasn't for a few people within the Mozilla organisation thought, let's get organised, let's do this properly.
That is exactly what I was going to say. The people from Mozilla essentially learned to be more enterprise, and it's pushed Firefox beyond what you'd imagine.
Well, to put this however,
I will rephrase slightly then. The word I'm looking for is not organised. The word I'm looking for us to avoid is corporate. Which is what Novell are, and it's what Sun are. It's what Suzy were before they were bought by Novell.
The thing is, though, is that it depends what you mean by becoming this corporate entity. I don't believe for a second that that people are necessarily going to sell their soul to be corporate, you know, just because they want to get it into their corporation. I mean, you know, on a similar note, right, as you guys know, I've started a new job, and it's kind of like it's an enterprise-y kind of centre. We're targeting enterprises. I don't believe I've sold my soul just because I want to get Linux into the enterprise. But you've got to put on a suit. You've got to organise yourself. You've got to appeal to their better side to get it in there. There's got to be a level of compromise. You can't expect Linux and open source to get into the enterprise if we're going to wander around with T-shirts with penguins on all the time.
I mean, this is perhaps a debate for slightly later, because we have got this markdown to talk about later, kind of the whole marketing of Linux and all that side of things.
Yeah.
So let's steer on to that later, and let's have a look at the next news item.
Which Aid, is?
Did you have one?
Aid.
Yeah, actually, one that caught my eye the other day.
Did it hurt?
Oh yeah, then half. Get this, it's by a guy.
Jap eye.
The guy's name who wrote this on the Register is John Lettice.
Oh
yeah, John Lettice.
Yeah,
so see him regularly.
No, but on a serious note, this has got quite a big Salad impact. This is the story about the National Health Service announcing how much they've saved on Microsoft licensing.
Oh, the bastards!
Because
I mean,
the whole government thing. You know, we're into open source and we want to do it. And now they've basically just turned around and said, no, we're going to save. This is how much they're going to save on licensing by doing this deal: £330 million throughout the length of the contract, which is 9 years. So they're going to save that on licensing. They're still going to be paying for licensing.
How much are they spending on licensing?
300. No, they're saving.
No, but they're actually going to be spending $500 million on the deal.
No, I'm not sure how much they're going to be spending. All I know is how much they're going to be saving. They're still going to have to pay.
No, I am certain they're spending $500 million on the deal.
Right, okay.
So, just to give you an idea. It would have cost them £880 million to do the whole NHS with Microsoft software for 9 years.
What would that pay for?
Well, this
and instead, it's now going to cost them $500 million. What a bonus.
I mean, the opportunity we had here, 900,000 desktops. So, I mean, it puts Germany into perspective.
Yeah. Now, what we needed was Novell to get in there and to do the deal.
Now, this guy, Richard Granger,
yeah,
or whatever his
Debian
name is.
Debian were going to do, weren't they, mate?
Richard Granger is the head of the IT there. Actually, to get this deal, he got Sun involved, and he tried to come up with an alternative for this, open source desktop and all the rest of it. And he came up with a real viable desktop, and so convinced Microsoft that they were going to go with it. They were using Star Office and everything, and this is how he's actually got the discount. But the thing is, they had
who did that?
This is
Greg Bollock.
Granger.
Richard Granger, yes. He's the IT director for the NHS.
Right, so he put together that desktop, load of demonstration stuff.
He got somebody
involved,
basically.
Not Novell, the fucking corporate desktop, then. Just this guy went, why don't
we do that? No, I'm sorry, but he got Sun involved, and they put it together.
No, I know, he got Sun involved, and they put it together.
So, yeah.
So basically what we've got is we've got the NHS spending £500 million of our money and using an open source-y type alternative just as a bargaining chip.
That's basically what
what's
it seems to
what's
be.
What's the point?
Microsoft has said that they're gonna throw in for free this thing where they're going to unify the look of it, the look and feel. But by doing this, they're also not only locking the NHS into it, they're also locking all of their IT suppliers into it.
Yep. Question for you all. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how many desktops is this actually going to be run on?
This 900,000 licenses.
Is there any open source installation that's on that many desktops? I know there's something going on in China.
According to this document, that the NHS are actually the world's largest IT
It's Europe's largest employer as well, isn't it?
Because the only reason why I'm saying...
Second largest. Oh. Red Army's larger.
No, I said Europe's.
Russia's in Europe?
The Red Army? Oh, yeah, sorry. I was thinking of the People's Army. Sorry.
The thing
John
is,
I had something I didn't say.
The thing I was going to say is...
Red Army.
The thing I was going to say is... Is there an open source installation? Has there been a deal made with open source software that's been on that many desktops? Because I'm not saying that it shouldn't be on
there was
the
thing
NHS.
In Germany, wasn't it? I mean, what's that, 14,000?
Yeah.
It's nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's like small fry.
There was such an opportunity here.
There was an opportunity, but let's not,
a million desktops.
Was there an opportunity, though? Here's the question.
They had a working solution.
But that's the issue.
They had an open source working solution.
The thing is, though, is that it takes a lot of guts to go with something that's probably not been on 500,000 desktops in one particular installation.
But some were behind.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it wouldn't work. I'm absolutely positive that it would work. I'm just looking at it from the managerial kind of perspective.
The knock-on effects as well, because I mean there are general practice surgeries at the minute where they use Star Office, and they've all now got to change and use Microsoft.
Have they?
Yeah.
So that comes out of their practice budget.
I'm not sure, but
it's ridiculous, isn't it?
One in three people in Britain will develop cancer in their lifetime, yeah?
Sorry?
One in three people in Britain develop cancer in their lifetime. So
I'm going to get open cancer.
Just let's not go there.
Let's be blunt about it. One of us is probably, possibly going to develop cancer in our lifetime.
1.3 recurring of us is going to develop
cancer. Yeah, thank God I don't smoke.
Don't you feel so much better that £500 million of our money has gone on Microsoft, on bloody Bill Gates's picture frames, than it has on our treatment for disease?
It is ridiculous.
I won't pay that much tax probably in my lifetime.
Just think, you got a serious point. Just think what you could have done with that
£500
money.
Million quid?
I'm being hopeful, that might.
But you won't pay that much tax. You and everyone else on this street will not earn that much in their lifetime.
But seriously, if this has succeeded, can you imagine the knock-on effects?
Yeah.
If this one had succeeded, we'd have a working model to say, look, if something this size can succeed...
If this one had succeeded, then it would have killed a large proportion.
It would have been
a
landmark. It's, everything would have changed.
If you think about it, what, 900, call it a million PCs.
Yeah, exactly, a million.
We can't really average more than one PC per person in this country, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, a lot of people have got two, one at home and one at work.
Of us have got about eight as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's the occasional aberration who've got eight, but there's a lot of kids in a house of four people where they've only got one PC in the house, and you've got a lot of people who don't have computers at all. So,
really?
Apparently,
freaks.
Perhaps they've got a PDA or something. But imagine that there's on average one PC per person. That means there's 60 million PCs in this country.
Yeah.
So you'd have shifted one PC in every 60 right over to Linux like that, and the knock-on effect would have then done, and probably that many again. What with doctor surgeries, suppliers, people who say, "Well, I use this at work, so I might as well use it at home."
Point. Yeah, exactly.
We'd have probably shifted if they'd have done that. It would have shifted 2% of the PCs,
4%
of the PCs in this country to Linux straight away.
Question is though, right? Is the deal's gone through? Right, we've lost this one. Fair enough.
But this is about the biggest one we could have lost.
Oh, yeah, completely. But what we need to do is we need to figure out why we lost it. We need to figure out... Because I don't believe for a second it was just that Microsoft were, had the big amount of cash and had the big reputation. I don't believe that was the only reason. There's got to be other reasons.
Nobody gets sacked for bloody choosing Microsoft.
Oh, completely. But if we...
Has Richard Grainger actually got a yacht now?
We've talked before about how Linux users, you know, shouldn't be complacent and shouldn't be this and shouldn't be that and sit back, or shouldn't be either too critical of people or shouldn't be too complacent of things.
Mm.
Instead of sitting back and saying, oh, for fuck's sake, it's Microsoft and they've done it again, blah, blah, blah. We need to sit back, we need to analyse it, we need to learn, and we need to regroup.
You're completely right.
You are right. The fact of the matter is, right, is that all you ever hear about on the Linux sites is, bloody hell, you know, we've lost this one to Microsoft. And yeah, we have, and let's be annoyed about it, but let's do something about
it.
In that case, we need to be constructive.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what Axe solution is outside of, you know, outside of not having a corporate backer to try and get Linux into an organisation like this. Seriously, I want to know what you want to do, man.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Revell.
The couple of problems as I see it is, first of all, you know, like Matt said, you know, no one ever got fired by Microsoft. It used to be IBM, now it's Microsoft.
It's still IBM as well.
Yeah, no one ever got fired by IBM either.
We're an IBM,
I think that's the point. The NHS aren't, you know, again, going back to what Jono said earlier, that people aren't going to trust something which has got no more than a 10,000 seat deployment anywhere in the world on 900,000 desktops.
I think it's about 100,000 desktops in Australia or not.
They've got a working solution. That's the frustrating thing for me.
I agree with you completely. You know, it's not me you've got to convince.
Oh, I know,
But you can sort of see their argument.
No, but you have got to come up with a solution.
But the government said,
someone like Novell or Sun or whatever, if you're so anti that idea, what is your alternative?
I don't. So what you're suggesting is that you have to get a big company who'll come in and use essentially their proprietary Linux development.
No, you have to have a company who'll support it, who will be the Microsoft alternative. Because if you
there
don't,
you go. There's my solution: a company who will support it and be the Microsoft alternative, not a company who will take free software and leverage it with proprietary stuff that the rest of us can't use.
Thing is, you're both making valid points. Yeah. The issue is,
that's my worry. It's not that a company dominates it, it's that a company takes it and bees corporate with it, locks away bits of it so we can't get it, and then we just switch in one Microsoft for another.
Let's let Bacon Sandwich in here.
That's the issue. I mean,
is he in a sandwich?
If you want. The issue here, of course, is the fact, I agree with Ack in one way, in the sense of that there's no point in us all working so hard, and we all work really hard to help push open source software, right? And to take all this hard work that people have spent their time writing and essentially have one company come in with its muscle and charge per seat licensing and limit how something can be how something can be spread, right?
No, I agree.
What's the point in doing that? But on the other side, that doesn't necessarily mean that any large company using Linux is a bad thing and selling Linux is a bad thing. But it needs to be. The difficult thing, of course, is finding a model that's going to work.
Yeah.
You think that from 900,000 machines, they'd make enough money from support. A typical company would make enough money from support without having to charge per seat license.
It's $39 per seat per year. Horrifies me.
Worse than actually going to charge per seat.
You know.
Yeah. Sorry?
Worse than actually going to charge per seat then?
We don't know. With the JDS? In this particular NHS case, where there's no way of us knowing.
As far as I wouldn't surprise me if whoever it was, whether it was Sun or whether it was Novell or whether it was Red Hat, they would charge per seat. I'm pretty sure.
I doubt it. What they do is they give you an all-in cost.
Well, yeah, but
if you're going in and saying we've got 100 seats, then they'll say, okay, we charge you X per seat, and then they negotiate the per seat price. If you've got 900,000, they'll say we'll charge you 120.2 million just for the whole deal.
Was that a drive-by, you know, by the way?
I think, yeah, because you're getting shot on in the radio studio.
You know, I mean, if they say we'll charge 120 million, you ring them up and go, oh, actually, you know, we said it was 900,000, it's 900,005. They're not going to go, okay, that's 121 million we're going to charge. They're going to go 520 million.
Million for five. Anyway, nice one.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. let's just get bored and fucking get on with it.
Press stop.
You are listening to the Gladio.
So it's the end of the show, the end of the third show already. We talked about Firefox, of course, because that's obligatory. We've had a look at the news. We decided it's an incredibly bad day for open source.
It is.
The opportunity that we missed
The NHS thing.
A million desktops.
Yeah, and apparently...
it would have changed everything, I guarantee you.
NHS and anyone else who isn't British, it's the National Health Service. Basically, we pay tax and we get free healthcare.
Yeah, so yeah. If we get shot, we don't have to actually pay to get into the hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you say it's a bad day, but Firefox 1.0 was launched. This is, by the way, the day that we're
quality day,
you know, recording.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
It's, I don't, I don't know. I mean, it's a milestone in terms of the Firefox project.
Yes.
But Firefox 1.0 isn't particularly a bigger deal than Firefox 1.0 preview release.
No, not really.
I upgraded it today.
Except a couple of themes don't work.
It didn't change anything.
The thing is, though, is that they've been, in many ways, it's to their credit, they've had such a long release candidate sort of period, haven't they? I mean, it's been going on for... It's been on the verge of being released for ages, like, in terms of it's felt ready.
Yes.
Since version, like, 0.9.6 or something ridiculous.
It's even earlier than that, to be honest.
0.7
yeah.
was ready to...
I'd have said.
I remember, do you know, the first time I used... The first time I used it, I was actually having a shit at the time. I was on my bowel.
Is this some kind of metaphor?
No, I was actually laying a cable at the time, and I was on... I was just dist upgrading, and...
You were dist upgrading on the bog.
I was upgrading. And
I like
I was
the fact that you've got the power book in the bog.
So you weren't just grading.
I was just
that's an A plus. Fucking hell.
Oh, this show's brilliant quality.
Did you just break my
stool?
Bloody hell. You followed through.
Lag Radio, the only show on radio where someone shits a stool every week. In fact, a stool.
I'm just amazed by the fumes in the studio.
Yeah. Usually it's sparks that produce the
fumes. We need smelly vision.
Why do we have any listeners?
Excuse me, where was I? Firefox.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I sort of heard about it, so I didn't install, and I just couldn't believe I missed it, you know, because it's absolutely brilliant. Well, it was back then, because I was using Conqueror.
Oh. And now the only people who use Conqueror is everyone on Mac OS. Yeah.
So,
and no one on KDE.
And PowerGen, remember?
Oh, yeah, fucking PowerGen.
The bastards.
Hey, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, fucking, we should abuse them mightily. PowerGen, yeah.
Oh, I read that in
your
blog.
You go to their website in Firefox, and it says, your browser is not supported, you need to be using Internet Explorer...
Or Netscape.
5.5, or Netscape 6.0 or better, or Conqueror.
Or Opera.
But not Firefox. And you just think, no, you need a fucking good hiding. Stop using browser detects, right?
Just so the first, well in Firefox.
Listen, was the first thing that you did, did you just go and get the user agent extension, which is what I did? So
no, the first thing I did was I went, fuck their noise, and didn't look at their website.
Why do you need an extension? You can hack the config thing, don't you?
Yeah, because you have to hack the config thing, and unless you're leet, you don't know how to do that.
Yeah, but let's face it, you know, that's probably going against some kind of open source ideal, isn't it, Ack?
He's not going to let you forget about this, you know.
Well,
that.
No, it isn't.
Angry Matt strikes again.
Longest anyway, intro not to worry. Ever.
Not to worry.
Yes.
We're all good friends, really.
No, we're not.
And apart from me and Matt.
That's why we're all sat here naked.
And twat.
Remarkable. You know, it's like, this room is like extremes. You know, we've got extremely belt on the extremely short, extremely large.
You're about to get fucking cheery.
The Lug Radio Massive. By the way, I forgot. Suze, come here a sec.
It's like that sketch on Little Britain.
Margaret!
Sorry, Suze, if you're not British.
I want you to stand here while I announce this to the Lug Radio listeners.
This is Mrs. John O'Begging
come through.
Do you
not think that Ack sounds like Zippy?
Yes, you do.
Well, then you're a bastard.
See, I actually thought you were going to ask Suze to marry you then.
I'm thinking,
oh my God.
Zippy... God,
ask about you just so she can say no and I can piss myself off.
That's the power of the edit.
So Rainbow's a children's series on that used to be on television, and they had a creature called Zippy that talked like
fence poster.
It did used to say good lord quite a lot.
Good lord.
Good lord, Jeffrey. By the way, has anyone seen the dirty Rainbow?
I have indeed.
So funny.
Do you believe I sent it to you? Didn't I? Or did you send it to me?
I sent it to you.
Yeah, it's quality.
The people who made Rainbow decided to, like, I think it was for a Christmas card or something. They basically did an adult script with loads of double entendres and filmed it. And it's absolutely hilarious. It really is.
Did Jane and Linky is going to be on there?
Besides, Rod, Jane, and
Freddie
and Paul are someone, isn't it? Yeah. It's like one of them's missing. And she talks about playing with their blowing on their pipes, and they talk about playing with their maracas.
Jono, are you going to put the link to this in the forum?
I'll stick the link in the forum. It's most
because
amusing.
You always say that and never do.
I know. Why don't you put the link in the forum?
Yeah.
Well, nicely volunteered is what you're saying. Yeah.
You've only been here for like one episode.
Yeah, you guys need organising.
Yeah, you hung around, and we locked you in a box for two episodes. That's not the point.
That's the initiation. So, guys, thanks very much.
Did they do that to you?
Up. No, it's my idea. And Johnny's.
What?
Lug Radio was our idea, was. So we didn't
have
to get locked in the box.
That's nukable, I have to say.
That's not...
I'm sure it wasn't meant to go there.
What?
Did you pot the pink or the brown? Oh, dear.
Both at once.
So, guys.
Yeah, well...
Episode DP. Whatever.
Episode 3.
Three.
Incidentally, show at lugradio.org.
Has anybody checked it?
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, it all comes to me.
The show might contain swearing.
Yes. yes, of course, yeah.
It might contain swearing. Show at lugradio.org.
And forums at lugradio.org. And, don't forget to email us, show@lugradio.org, if you want us to come along to your part of the country where we can come and record a show.
The Lug Radio
You'll
tour.
Need us to bloody well... Well, we'll talk about that in the next episode.
No.
Yeah, well, we haven't got time for this episode.
We have.
Have we?
Yes.
Okay.
All of a sudden, we have.
Here's the basic idea. We will come to you, wherever you are. Shut up. We'll come to you wherever you are in the world, so long as it's not too ridiculously far away.
Expensive.
England, yeah.
It's within 20 miles of Wolverhampton.
Or you buy us free beer, but up at a really flashy hotel and
it's Schwartz House. And yeah, we might even come to you in the south of France, Bernardo. Bruno.
Who the hell is Bernardo?
Harsh.
I'm Bruno.
I'll tell you what, if both his parents...
Just sweet
desolate. If both his parents are dead, he's going to be absolutely gutted.
That's a very British joke that no one's going to understand. Dr. Bernardo's is an orphan charity in Britain, right?
Dr. Bernardo.
Anyway, the thing is that if you're schwuck or no... we'll come to your house, or you're on the Isle of Man or something like that. Isle of Man. Then we'll come
Why
to your
you
house.
Why do you want to go to the Isle of Man?
It's fantastic.
You keep knocking on about this.
Norman Wisdom lives there.
We keep going, like, where should we go on Lug Radio Tour? We'll go up and see Schwuck, or we'll go to the Lunatic Expo, whatever. Matt Orwell goes, let's go to the Isle of Man. And as far as I can tell,
I can't think of any.
There's an Isle of Man lug there.
It is shit, isn't it? You might as well just, like, hang around in a dinghy on the edge of a coast. I mean, it's that big, isn't it?
Isn't the island, like, 9 miles long in total?
It's got a population of 56,000. It had the first 3G network in the world, and...
Well, that's not difficult on an island, is it?
And okay, that one guy standing on top of the church with his arm in the fucking
air. And it's one of the British Isles' major high-tech industry centres.
Yeah.
I could wire that up as a LAN. I'm sure it's less than 100 metres. I could do it with Cat 5, you bastard.
By the hairs of my protruding chinny-chinny.
One of the British Isles' biggest high-tech industries, probably one guy on the island bought television when he was on holiday.
Listen, Isle of Man lug people, you've been in touch before, get in touch and defend me and your island.
Defend your tiny, pointless island.
Wait.
Isle of Matt.
Next time you get some computer time.
Tell us about the Tin World.
Just get in touch with us and or send us a letter, it might be easier.
Yeah, when you get to be the Isle of Woman, maybe we'll come.
Anyway.
Then, no.
Anyway.
Isle of Man or Man.
All in a big ring around the island.
Anyway.
all 11 of them, all of whom are brothers.
Anyway.
Have they really got in touch with us, by the way?
After one of the first episodes.
I'm going to get some abuse this time, then. That's not good.
Have they got a lug?
Yeah, there's the Isle of Man lug, and basically they just go to the pub and get drunk.
They've got enough people, it's just called it
lug. They do, so I've heard about the Isle of Man lug. What have they got, the Iowa lug?
It's IOM.
For some reason, I've just got this picture of Morris dancers in my head.
Listen, they're
but with three legs in a circle.
They're a proud Celtic nation.
Oh, what?
They're proud Celtic people who have a lug. Let's
they're
go
Morris dancers, aren't they?
Morris dancing isn't Celtic. It's, no? It's
how do you get over there? Is there a bridge?
You can fly from
fly.
How can you fly
from Birmingham?
You can't take the undercarriage, would they?
Can't you just jump?
Maybe we can jump on crocodiles together.
This is an R by Tomy. Right, we've got to
Indiana Jones visits the Isle of Man lug.
Right. Got a rope bridge, haven't they?
Shut up, the lawyer.
A rug bridge.
You need a rug. So we've got the Isle of Man tour. No, the Lug Radio tour coming up, hopefully. Please, if you want us to come visit you in the new year, January,
apart
February,
from
March time,
Isle of Man, which
then,
one you can
let
off.
Us know. You'll have to try and put us up and that sort of thing.
And not and put us down.
And have somewhere nice where we can record with all your lug people and everything. We'll do a bit of, you know, open mic session and everything. It'd be great fun. Let's do it.
That's what we're aiming to do. It'd be great. We don't want too much, do we? I mean, we just want somewhere to kip and...
Somewhere to kip and somewhere
some
to record
women.
The show.
Get some hoes for us.
I'm married.
gardening hose.
Not our Bill gardening hose, though.
Should we write like an official list of requirements? All right, we need some.
We should have a rider list. Excellent. You're only brown M&Ms or whatever it is.
Yeah. You're only going to say only brown hose then.
We need some hose. We need a few bags of squidgy black. We need to snort a few lines.
Bucket full of Bolivian marching powder. All the beer we can drink. Somewhere to stay. Ideally not on someone's fucking sofa.
That'd be a good one. Northern Ireland.
Wait, just say no, let's do like paintball in Northern Ireland.
Wicked idea. Yes.
That's already shit.
Actually,
yeah, let's go over to Fallujah and play play paintball.
Okay. Right, guys, we've gone on far too long. We've offended far too many people.
No, we've offended 11 people, all of the population of the Isle of Man.
56,000.
And that's when they got their relatives over.
They've got one of the, got the oldest continuous parliament in the world.
That's
so
really,
guys,
really, that's something to be proud of.
It's called the Tin World.
The Tin World.
You know too much about this subject,
Wikipedia,
Matthew.
Wikipedia, mate, Wikipedia.
Right.
Okay.
Night, everyone.
Bye. Bye.